A tech CEO stands on the verge of bankruptcy. An NFL coach faces his team's losing streak. A young parent wrestles with anxiety at 3 a.m. What could possibly connect these disparate struggles? An ancient philosophy born in the marketplaces of Athens and the marble halls of Rome. Stoicism, once the guiding light of emperors and slaves alike, has surged back into modern consciousness, not as dusty academia, but as a living toolkit for navigating life's turbulence. At its core lies a radical insight. Your suffering isn't caused by what happens to you, but by what you believe about what happens to you. This single idea, properly understood, can transform everything. Most daily suffering is optional. Between any event and your emotional response lies interpretation. Consider road rage. A car changing lanes doesn't contain anger. We manufacture it by adding stories. They disrespected me. They're reckless. The Stoics recognized we react not to reality, but to our narrative about it. Pain feels different when we believe it's temporary versus permanent. What feels unbearable to one person seems manageable to another. Not because circumstances differ, but because their internal framing does. Epictetus, who experienced slavery before becoming a great teacher, stated plainly, "People are disturbed not by things that happen, but by their opinions about those things." Marcus Aurelius constantly reminded himself to clear his mind of foolish judgments. The goal isn't pretending bad things are good. It's cultivating detachment from automatic reactions, observing your judgments rather than being controlled by them. You're no longer a victim of circumstance, but an architect of your own experience. Understanding that judgments create your experience raises a crucial question. What deserves your energy? The Stoic answer is ruthlessly practical. Focus exclusively on what you control and release everything else. This division is stark. You control your judgments, desires, and choices. You don't control external events, other people's opinions, or outcomes. Wasting emotional energy on things beyond your control creates needless suffering. This doesn't mean indifference to outcomes. Stoics prefer health over sickness, success over failure, but they distinguish preferences from attachments. A Stoic might prefer sunny weather, but won't let rain ruin their day. They'll adapt and find joy regardless. The Stoics locate good and evil exclusively in what we control. Health, wealth, and reputation are indifferent, neither inherently good nor bad. As Seneca stated, "The happy person recognizes no good and evil other than a good and evil mind." This perspective creates profound liberation. When we fear or desperately desire things beyond our control, we acknowledge a master over us. Epictetus taught that true freedom means neither wishing for nor fleeing from anything that depends on others. The practice begins with stripping away meanings we automatically assign to events. "His ship is lost" is simply a fact. "Alas" is our unnecessary addition. For matters beyond your control, the appropriate response is, "It is nothing to me." The Stoics cultivated a cosmic perspective to foster humility and liberation from trivial concerns. Marcus Aurelius, despite commanding armies and governing an empire, reminded himself that Asia and Europe are corners of the universe. The whole of the sea is a drop in the universe. Against the vast abyss of time, even a long life is an instant, even less than an instant. All human achievements are impermanent, like heaps of sand where new piles constantly cover previous ones. This cosmic view addresses death fear. Those who clung tenaciously to life gained nothing over those who died early. The Stoics also employed microscopic perspective, examining life's components to demystify them. Marcus Aurelius reduced everyday experiences to base elements. Bathing is merely oil, sweat, filth, greasy water. By breaking down externals into literal components, we dissolve their power over us. Nothing is truly new. Everything is both familiar and short-lived. Yet his response wasn't nihilism, but ethical action, to do good to others and to treat them with tolerance. The Stoics transformed death from humanity's ultimate terror into a source of clarity. While Seneca acknowledged death has in it something that inspires terror, Stoics maintain we must overcome not our mortality, but our thinking about it. Epictetus called death a mask to frighten children that does not bite. The fear of death, not death itself, makes us object and disturbs and destroys us. The Stoics used reason to strip death of its frightening features. As Seneca noted, none of those who malign death have tried it. Death itself is painless, resembles our pre-birth non-existence, and is merely natural transformation, where our matter dissolves into universal elements. The Stoics reject viewing death as distant. We die every day, Seneca wrote, as each day a little of our life is taken from us. This transforms death from a feared future catastrophe into a familiar, ongoing reality. Epictetus counseled keeping death every day before your eyes to prevent low thoughts or extravagant desire. Marcus Aurelius advised spending each day as if it were the last, to be neither agitated nor numb. Remarkably, Stoics reframe death as an option rather than terror. The best thing eternal law ever ordained was one entrance into life, but many exits. Why does achieving goals rarely bring lasting satisfaction? The Stoics understood what modern psychology confirms. Desire is a rigged game you can learn to play differently. Fulfilling desires rarely satisfies. It generates new cravings in an endless cycle. Epictetus compared desire to a fever's thirst, momentarily quenched but quickly returning stronger. The Stoics distinguished between natural appetites, like hunger, with clear limits, and artificial desires, like status, with no stopping point. Natural desires are finite. The same food satisfies hunger today as yesterday. Artificial desires constantly escalate, making formerly superfluous things seem indispensable. The Stoics identified another deception. Pursuing goals often brings more pleasure than attaining them. Once possessed, anything loses its power to satisfy. We measure satisfaction by comparing ourselves to others, ensuring perpetual discontent. The Stoic remedy begins with understanding desires stem from opinions. Epictetus stated, "Freedom is attained not by satisfying desires, but by removing them." The Stoics recommended opposite comparisons, considering how desirable your possessions would seem if absent. Marcus Aurelius advised picking the best things you have and thinking how much you'd want them if you didn't. The shortest path to wealth isn't earning more, it's wanting less. The Stoics offer radical freedom. Others' opinions, praise, or criticism are externals beyond your control and therefore nothing to you. Imagine liberation from constantly checking social media, replaying conversations, worrying about your reputation. Stoics saw conformity as the source of human folly. Seneca warned, "We live according to a pattern instead of reason, following like sheep." The most worn paths are often most deceptive. The wise person perceives contrary to the opinion of the world. The desire for praise drives our behavior. We practice what wins approval rather than developing the art of not needing it. Seneca asked, "Why seek praise from those you cannot praise yourself?" Beyond rejecting others' opinions, respect your own judgments more. Marcus Aurelius wondered why we give less weight to his own opinion of himself than to the opinion of others. Seneca advised, "Be your own spectator, seek your own applause." Effective insults require victim cooperation. Seneca noted, "The success of an insult depends on the sensitivity and the indignation of the victim." When insults are unjust, Stoics view the insulter as mistaken, deserving compassion rather than anger. You control what truly matters, your character, not others' opinions. The desire for praise drives our behavior. We practice what wins approval rather than developing the art of not needing it. Seneca asked, "Why seek praise from those you cannot praise yourself?" Beyond rejecting others' opinions, respect your own judgments more. Marcus Aurelius wondered why we give less weight to his own opinion of himself than to the opinion of others. Seneca advised, "Be your own spectator, seek your own applause." Effective insults require victim cooperation. Seneca noted, "The success of an insult depends on the sensitivity and the indignation of the victim." When insults are unjust, Stoics view the insulter as mistaken, deserving compassion rather than anger. You control what truly matters, your character, not others' opinions. In a world monetizing anxiety and selling happiness through consumption, Stoicism offers radical freedom through understanding what you actually control, your judgments, choices, character. The ancient Stoics weren't optimists denying life's difficulties. They faced mortality, loss, and injustice directly, then asked, "What remains within my power?" The answer transformed emperors and slaves alike. Your response, interpretation, and virtue remain yours. The Stoic path requires constant practice. Start small. Notice your automatic judgments today. Ask, "Is this interpretation necessary? Is it serving me?" Distinguish between what you control and what you don't. Practice seeing concerns from a cosmic perspective. Remember your mortality not with dread, but as motivation to live well now. The Stoics discovered wisdom isn't just knowing what's true, it's practicing what you know until it becomes who you are. Your freedom waits in that practice.